welcome to Arts Underground, everybody. I'm Katie Ganaway, and our guests today have merged their respective departments with the City of Huntsville to design an innovative, interactive memory map titled the Historic Huntsville Image Collection Viewer. So welcome to the folks who created it, Katie Stamps and Nick Haney. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
How are y'all today?
Doing good. Doing good.
Yeah.
A little hesitation. It's a little hot outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Having a really good day so far. And actually, I was saying earlier, I got to do a walking tour before I came here today. So just history all over the place.
Just Katie Stamps things. Yeah. You know. So, Nick, you work for Huntsville's Geographic Information Systems Department. Mm-hmm. And Katie, you are the city's preservation planner. So which of you first identified the need for something like this? And how did you eventually come together to create this project?
I feel like that's a tough question to answer only because so much of – I think a lot of the work has been kind of running along side by side, and then it's okay. Like we realized where the overlap was because, I mean, Nick can speak more to what his department's been doing for years, but they've been collecting photographs. I mean, y'all have been collecting maps, photographs, and all sorts of things for a long time, so.
Yeah, okay. So the GIS department was developed as its own group in the early 2000s, like 2002, 2001, right in there. Before my time, I was still in school, obviously. Mm-hmm. But when I came in 2018, I found that we had quite a lot of historic data, thousands of historic maps. We had tens of thousands of historic aerial images and quite a few photographs and different things, just other errata, if you will. And actually, Kelly came to me in like
Kelly Scrimshire,
yeah, in 2018 and was like, hey, because this is when Pokemon Go was still popular. And they're like, hey, it'd be great if we could have an augmented reality app where people could hold their phone around and see old Huntsville as it used to be, right? And I looked into it and it's like, this is way too hard for me. I don't know how to do this.
For one person.
Yeah, for one person anyway. And
with the municipal budget too, I'm mm-hmm. sure. You know, that would be a big project.
Multiple factors.
But at the time, I don't know if it's still around, Esri, which is a GIS software company, they had an app that would allow you to just throw geographic data in and look at it in augmented reality. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I wonder if it would allow me to put photos on points. And maybe we could look at photos as like you swipe your phone around. And it would actually work. It was just annoying because you had to click on the point and then have the photo pop up. I'm sure we could do it better today, but in 2018, right. That's what they had. That
it's
was
not like a lens, but it's like you have to actually.
Yeah, it just really wasn't what Kelly was looking for. Mm-hmm. But it had been in the back of my mind since that time. It's like, well, what can we do with this old imagery to kind of give people a feel for how things used to look? If that is within my technical abilities.
And it's one of those things that I think for GIS in general, the web applications that Nick has had a huge hand in creating all of these tools that are related to history, but also just lots of different things throughout the city that are useful to folks who, you know, from a technical perspective, but also just like if you're curious about any kind of mapping and things like that. There's a lot of stuff on the website that I think a lot of people don't know about. So, but there's a lot of really good history related web applications that they've created, including the Image Collection Viewer. So for me, I had been in contact with a gentleman by the name of Dean Dayton for many years. He created the Huntsville History Collection .org. And that's on a website that he's been working on for, you know, probably I want to say at least since the 2010s.
Is that the one with it's like a yellow background or
yes.
something?
Okay. Yes. Yes. And there's he's just scanned website. So much stuff, but there's right. a lot of photographs, and he came to me and was like, you know, I won't be able to run the website indefinitely, and there's so much data here. I would hate to see it just.
Can you talk about some of the sorts of photographs that he had on his website that yes. piqued your interest?
So Dean did a lot to preserve the history of the historic districts, and not just the big three, but also like Low Mill and Merrimack Mill and those kind of things. And so most of his photos he actually took himself, and they were photos of these different houses in like 2010 through like 2013 when he was going out and taking the pictures. But he also had, I don't know where he got, I guess he got them from the library. I don't know. He had a lot of the Habs pictures. And
that's the Historic American Building Survey.
Thank you.
Which they came through in the 1930s and did their full architectural drawings of elevations and planned, like very detailed drawings of, I don't remember exactly how many they did, but when they came through in the 30s, they did a bunch of of our grander structures and homes in Huntsville. So we have a pretty decent collection of stuff from then.
Was it Edgar Love who worked on the application back in the 70s?
On that, when you are you saying like the application
for the net for the historic districts?
Edgar Love was an architect. He designed the Helion Lodge, which is in Twickenham. But I'm thinking it's, Harvey Jones was
Harvey Jones.
The kind of the father of one of the main preservationists back in the 1970s when the city was first establishing Twickenham as a first historic district and then establishing the whole concept of design review within the historic districts and regulation and the application. So Harvey would have been. And so he has a huge collection.
And Dean had a lot of those pictures on his website.
Yeah. And I know UAH also has the entire Harvey Jones collection. So he's, a lot of these things do exist in multiple places. So, but it's one of those where for some, I think if you don't know where to look, it can be kind of overwhelming to dig through and figure out if you're not familiar with dealing with like archives, even on the digital side. And so this is, to me, a very, very user-friendly way to just kind of, you can just kind of play around and look for things, but you can also, it's searchable. But Dean and, after he and I were talking together, and I am not a tech person either, so I was like, we should, you and I should sit down with Nick and talk through, is this something that we could take the data that he has, and I'm, maybe we have some replications of things that, but there may be stuff that he has that we don't. And so that was kind of the
And there's
catalyst.
Also a partnership with the library and with other historical organizations in the community.
So that came a little bit later. So
right.
When Dean came to meet with us, so Katie, handled the introduction, and Dean actually came up to our office, and we had a sort of a meeting, and he's like, this is all the stuff that I have. He had like a little printed handout. And so we kind of checked the things that we thought were real. Because, at the end of the day, like GIS is not like we're not a museum, right? Like
right.
We're interested in spatial data. And, I look at a photograph and like it is spatial data because it was taken somewhere, right? But some of the oral histories and stuff was just beyond what we wanted to preserve, in our department. Mm-hmm. But I was like, hey, I'll take all your maps. I'll take all your photographs. And he had a postcard collection. And there were like pictures, on the postcards. And I still haven't even touched those. There's hundreds of the things. But it's like,
that
hey, we'll take
like
the postcard
bonus.
Collection
yeah.
too. I just kind of thought to myself, like, I need to do something that's really interesting and that people really want with this stuff.
Right.
I've just got to figure out what to do. And the other thing was I'll make this image collection viewer. I had this idea in my head. And we'll just have it as a repository for all of our photos, not just, Dean's photos, but anybody's that we run across. And so I'm digging through our servers, and I ran across about 1,000 old black and white images that, and I didn't know where they came from. There was a guy, and I forget his name, in the late 90s in Huntsville. Essentially, he took pictures from Madison County Public Library and scanned them, and he put them on a CD-ROM, and they sold the CD-ROMs like at Harrison Brothers Hardware.
Oh.
And so these photos all came off of one of those CD-ROMs. I'm like, well, I don't know who this guy is, and I didn't ask his permission to put it on the website, but I'm pretty sure these all came from the library. So I'm just going
to
take these and
go up to
and put
Heather
them
in Archives and say, yeah. Help me.
So I still hadn't met Heather yet is the thing. And so,
right.
I put this together over starting, I guess, last September, and I worked on it off and on all the way through. I did all the code and edited all the photos and categorized them and stuff. And I
you
still
did
haven't
that,
touched.
You did that alone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, one of our secretaries, Aaron, helped me.
Oh, Aaron Owen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Not
Aaron,
Aaron
Fernow.
Not
Tom's,
yeah.
But yeah.
Okay.
Different.
Yeah, no. Aaron Fernow is our GIS secretary, and she helped me with the tagging because one of the things I wanted to do was tag the photos so people could search by tags. That actually takes a long time, and the hardest thing about that is, like, you'll come up with a list of, like, 70 or 80 tags.
Right.
And trying to remember all the tags when you look at a picture – because, like, I was going back through today, and it's like, dang it, I didn't tag that one, urban renewal. It's like, I got to go back and re-tag it. So that kind of thing takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't actually meet Heather until we did that presentation the other week. We did that interview out in front of the parking garage.
Right, that we did for the Preservation Month, which was in May. We always do a kickoff news conference, and so we held that in front of Mazares,
mm-hmm.
Which is in the old Humphreys Rogers house. And so Heather attended that, and so that was their first opportunity to get kind of link up. And I think you went over. Y'all made an appointment to. I did another.
Oh, yeah.
I did another introduction and got them connected. And so you were able to go over there and find all sorts of things.
Well, I asked her, I was like, you know, do you have any scanned pictures? Like, yeah, we have some. It's like, well, do you know what you have? So I'll have to go look. And so I went over there and she's like, well, I took a look. We've got about 800 gigabytes of pictures. And I said, well, why don't we start off with like a subset of that? I'm not sure I can handle 800 gigabytes of pictures.
Well, then you also had to take all of those pictures and categorize them. And there are four categories right now. How did you come up with those? Like, how did you decide, like, I'm going to lump these in here, and this is, you know, the other, these are the other fields that people can choose to filter out what they want to find? Like,
it's tough, and you always second guess, and we're probably about to add a fifth.
Oh, boy.
Because one of the things
postcards.
That,
the postcards.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a whole other thing, but what.
Just kidding.
Some of the data that Heather gave me a few weeks ago, there was a lot of stuff that was easy to categorize. Like there were schools and churches. Those were really easy. And I can find where those were and we can plot those on a map, you know. But
and by year.
And by year, yeah. Mm-hmm. But there was a bunch, or about 600, like 550 pictures maybe from urban renewal. Mm. And they weren't tagged. Like it doesn't say like, you know, this was 507 whatever street. It's just a picture of a house. Mm. And it's a house that's been torn down. And it was torn down a long time ago. And anybody who knew where that house was is probably dead.
What a challenge.
And so I've just been, you know, when I drive home in the evenings, it's like, I'm just going to have to make its own category. It's like urban renewal houses or something. And just put all the houses in there that no longer with us and say, hey, you know, if you are looking for a house that was destroyed in urban renewal, this is the
it
place to
here.
Go.
Well, another question that I had was, how do you identify the photographers behind it? Or can you at all?
Unless you know, you really can't. So, you know, these days when you have digital photography, it's pretty easy, right? Like I can take a picture and I can see, oh, this was taken with a Canon, whatever. But, you know, these are film photos that have been scanned.
Right.
And there's no metadata other than what came from the scanner. And so if it doesn't say, then we don't know. Unless somebody just recognizes it. Now, some of the ones like Dean had that we know that Harvey Jones took, those are easier. I have a set of photos that came from historic districts in 2005 that were taken by somebody in the city. And because I found them, I don't know who it was. I could probably ask around.
You know, and so my position has only existed in its full-time capacity since 2014. But there were people like Linda Allen did some work. Him talking about the buildings that are no longer standing, that was one of my biggest things that I got excited about with this project because – especially with urban renewal, but just in general, we have properties that we know existed but aren't there anymore. So I feel like having a repository like this is a way to capture that history so it doesn't get lost. So it's not just a photograph sitting in somebody's basement or on somebody's personal computer. Now it's accessible to the public, and that's kind of our big thing, especially with it being the city. You know, we're here to provide services for the community, and so this is a tool that people can use. Either you're doing serious research or you're just curious, but it's a way to capture those things, because once they're gone, they're physically not there. It's really hard if you get lucky and have a photograph, but that's not always the case.
How have you built this for longevity, like future proofing, to adjust as you go along?
The database, as it's set up now, it shouldn't be too hard to use that with a different front end. I mean, the code expires. Like, you know, browsers change, phones change. But as long as your database is...
I just wouldn't want to get all that effort to get lost to history as well.
Well, it's one of the things, like, when you can ask any developer, one of the things you get used to is having to redo your work constantly. Because as things come out of date, you have to redo it. As far as keeping it up to date, adding new photos, that's something that I plan to do as much as I can. Like in the last couple of weeks, I've added like 600 or 700 photos.
Are you looking for volunteers or anything to help you with this? Because that is a lot.
What I would really like, what people could volunteer from, and this was a request from one of Heather's friends that we met.
It was Sue Ann Griffith, who does Lily Flag Signal podcast. Yeah,
love Sue Ann.
It was a request from her to see, you know, can you... Because we have the tags and we have types and stuff. Like, well, can you have a tag that's, like, unidentified or a tag that's, like, unlocated?
And that way it's grouped in one place. And if somebody recognizes it, then you can, like, change the tag out. Is that the thinking?
Or? The idea would be that they could just, like, send me an email, because there's an email link to my city email at the bottom. And someone could just say, hey, you know, photo ID, whatever, this was on such and such street.
Yeah, because that's... we were talking when we did for Preservation Month, we did like a happy hour at Baker and Abel. And one of the conversations I kept asking about is one of the movie theaters in Huntsville from the 1950s is the Grand. And I cannot find a picture of it and I cannot figure out where it was. And so I kind of put some of the history folk, the history nerds in town on the case. And so like that's the thing. It's like if you've got something that you're not entirely sure where this was or what it was, chances are there's somebody in town that might have that information. So if, again, having it not locked behind an archive, it's like it's on the website. You can go take a look at stuff and help us out.
And going off of that, I wanted to ask you, Katie, you know, storytelling is a huge aspect of what you do. And I wonder, how would you say that the Historic Huntsville Image Collection viewer tells the story of Huntsville through all these various eras of the city?
Pictures are wonderful and visuals are such much more of a tangible way to learn about history than if someone's maybe not going to read a book or an article or, you know, dig into a census record, things like that. A photograph is so evocative. And so I think having pictures of different time periods, you can see the fashion, you can see the cars, you can see the style, like buildings that are no longer there. You can see how building styles have changed over time. And so that to me is such a quick and more digestible way to learn about Huntsville history. And it might, you know, get someone excited to go, you know, deeper and learn more. But I think it's so, I mean, a kid can get into that. You know what I'm saying? Like anybody can get into looking at photographs and you can learn things very quickly that way. So I feel like it's a very good, you know, just snapshot of kind of like all of those different eras. And, you know, like I said, photographs are just to me so much more dynamic than. Not that reading is bad. Reading is wonderful and you should read, articles. But yeah, pictures are a great way to just kind of get that first little taste of the story.
So I'll preface this by saying I've maybe stared at pictures way too much lately, but for the last couple of months. But for me, the most powerful thing is when I see the people's faces. So when I'm going through and like I'll see a crowd of people and we have a tag called group photo. But just zoom in on those people and look at their faces. And it's like, that looks like my cousin or that looks like my mom.
I was going to ask, is there anybody that you've seen in the photographs that you've like recognized from your own family or some other? Ooh.
No, my people didn't arrive here until the 1980s. So I don't know that we've seen any anyone from my family around. But
I know that they're not, you know, I wasn't saying that they were my cousin or something. But it's just, it's so interesting. Like I can pull up a picture from the 1880s. And look at someone's face, and it's like they look just like me, you know. Because a lot of the time we struggle to recognize that people in the past were just like us. Like we either look at ourselves as smarter or like, you know, more, you know, we progressed further in civilization or whatever. But in the end, people a long time ago had the same thoughts and feelings. And
what sort of commonalities would you say have consistently kept up in our community over time? Like, what have you seen through these photographs?
Sports.
Okay.
That is not what I thought you were going to say. Interesting.
Heidi, do you have a different perspective?
I would just say, like, I mean, progress is a very generic word, but just Huntsville has always been kind of like just moving forward at a very, you know, quick pace. And I mean, I think that's a tradition that our city has had from the beginning. You know, we were the first, you know, capital of the state of Alabama. And then like as, I mean, we've always been kind of a special place, I think. And then having, you know, we get caught up a lot in space history, but there's a lot of stuff that happened in between that with the way our economy has changed and the way I think people coming here from other places, that's been a constant too.
Some unification there, some commonalities. In looking at this gigantic collection, do you have any that stand out in your one single photograph or a series of photographs that stand out in your mind for any reason that like that wowed you, surprised you, made you feel any sort of strong emotion?
Like I said, I really like the ones with people in them. And the one that if I think close my eyes and think about this collection, the one I always think of immediately is the one of that girl who worked at the mill.
It's like it's a beautiful portrait of like a photographic portrait of this
at Low Mill or
we don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that so that photo, that individual one came from the CD-ROM that we had. So I know the original is at the library somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that I find it and it gives us more information. Mm-hmm. But I think it may have been Dallas Mill.
I could see that.
And this is like a child worker?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The label on the picture was 13-year-old mill worker.
I don't know. The one I'm thinking of that's coming to my mind is also of people, but it's like a street picture. And I can't remember what street it was on, but there's like it's a candid. So people are in motion and it looks like it's probably from like the 1910s, maybe 1920s. But there are people, like there's a group in kind of in the front, they're walking arm in arm, and it's got, but everyone's just kind of like, it's like this little snapshot. It's not staged. It's just like this like frozen moment in time, which is really cool to see.
You're talking about the one, it has the two ladies holding hands in the middle. And there's a black man walking by, and there's like stuff in the streets.
You know exactly which one I'm talking about.
I told you I looked at this too much.
I know. Well, but, see, I feel like I thought they were arm in arm, and they were holding hands. So there you go.
That sounds like it's from the civil rights era, or...
This one was earlier.
Civil rights movement era, that's what I mean.
So this would have been from like the 1910s, 1920s, like just looking at the dress.
Okay. Yeah.
And stuff.
Wow. I don't know a lot about cars, but cars are very helpful for dating pictures.
Absolutely.
It's same as fashion too. Like you can kind of be like, okay, I know it wasn't in the 1960s because of the style of the length of their hem can tell you a lot too. Yeah. Like
going back to what you said, you know, was it civil rights era? That picture is not, but I think there is a lot you can learn about that. Because, like, I didn't live during the 60s, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a child of the 90s. When you hear about the civil rights era, like, you have this idea in your mind, like, segregation, like, white people here, black people here. Mm-hmm. But, like, in that picture, it's a crowd of white people, and there's a black guy just cutting across the crowd. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, like, historically, like, you think of all this separation. And it's been surprising to me, like, how many pictures that I've seen with, like, white and black people interacting. Mm-hmm. And that's been surprising because, like I said, historically, like, what you're taught in school, like, you just have that idea of, like, complete division.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking that to me, that brings up, too, and it's something that we deal with, like, with the physical buildings being gone as well. With Huntsville and with urban renewal, a lot of the black business district on Church Street and neighborhoods were demolished and, you know, relocated to North Huntsville. And so we struggle when we're thinking about listing places to the National Register of Historic Places, whether that's individually or as a district. If the physical spaces aren't there, you can't, you know, the National Register is for, it still has to be standing. So then you go, okay, well, if that's not there, how do we tell that story? So, and I would say, I know that we need more photographs from, you know, people of minority communities in Huntsville, just in general. I don't know that we have a lot of...
Because it's important to keep that story as well, because that's also a part of our history.
Well, and then you think about who would have had cameras.
Correct.
And you know what I'm saying?
But it's not only who took pictures, it's who had their pictures preserved.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes things exist and they live with the family and maybe they belong, mm-hmm. you know, they're up in somebody's attic or something. So maybe it didn't end up in an archive at the you know, special collections where we all now have, you know, those are the kind of things that I get, like, keep me up at night sometimes because I'm like, I know there's this stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I mean, we would be open to having, you know, if people have things that they would be willing to share that we could, you know, not keep the, we don't want to keep your originals. This is like getting a digital, y'all have amazing scanners.
GIS department.
Yes. Yep. But, like, that would be a way to capture so that it can be kind of entered into the record. And because, again, there's so many areas of, I think, Huntsville life that we don't have. And it just we're just kind of using what got preserved. Like you're saying, some of the stuff, I don't know.
We had a conversation a while back, maybe it was last year, when that leadership class, mm-hmm. about that Changing Huntsville book that Elizabeth Humes Chapman wrote.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's a really interesting book. It's a snapshot of Huntsville in the 1890s. Mm-hmm. But it's only talking about, like, the factory owners and the rich people in Huntsville in the 1890s.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what Katie's talking about what got preserved, right? Like, you look at any history, the famous people, the people, you know, who quote-unquote were, you know, big shots, they get every detail of their life preserved. But the average person is completely ignored, right? And it's kind of the same way, to some degree, with these photographs. Like, I mean, we have street scenes. We have this and that where they're showing average people. But we're not getting intimate looks at their lives the same way that we're getting intimate looks at, you know, the well-to-do folks.
Right.
And so,
wouldn't it be so wonderful, as you said, Nick, earlier, for somebody who is not a white person to see themselves back then.
Absolutely.
Because you said that you saw yourself, but it would be wonderful to have that on record for people, for generations to come in this talk of preservation and future-proofing Lake.
As far as the African-American photos go, I got done with the schools recently, mm-hmm. and we had a whole collection, like Heather had a whole collection of like African-American schools. And a lot of those had group shots mm-hmm. where they're out in front of the schools. Mm-hmm. And some of those were some really nice photos, like high quality, like you could really, because some of these, I mean, they are what they are, right? Like you had a single shot, you can get to develop it until later. It's not like today where it's like, all right, everybody, like we're going to take five 10. Photos.
Yeah.
And so sometimes like the faces come out kind of blurry and you can't mm-hmm. really see. But some of those from that group were actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would recommend, you know, people taking a look at those. They were interesting to me. Mm-hmm.
And that makes me think of, there's a picture that we received when we were doing the National Register survey and nomination for Edmonton Heights, which is a historically black neighborhood up near the A&M campus. And there's a picture of this woman with her two sons, and they look like they're dressed up maybe to go to church on Sunday. And it's from the 1960s, and it's like, but that picture was just living in somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I would say, you know, if there are people that are listening that have photos that they would be willing to share that we could scan, and then, you know, they could, you know, obviously, you know, we were not, like I said earlier, we're not going to keep the originals, but we would be grateful to have those and have them. If you've got the information, we can include all that in there
mm-hmm.
because the picture has picture like this, like mostly of them, but then the houses of Edmonton Heights are behind them. So that was helpful for the person doing the survey, because she could see the architecture behind them. But it's mm-hmm. like this family photo that we would have had if she hadn't, you know, she had reached out to the neighborhood and there happened to be somebody that lived there and grew up in the neighborhood. And they're like, yeah, I actually have this old photograph of my grandmother, you know, whoever it was. So anyways, that's just a long way of saying mm-hmm. we would love to have people reach out to us if they have photos from Huntsville.
Now, Katie, I kind of want to switch gears a little bit. In addition to the archival work that you do, you also lead historic walking tours in downtown Huntsville. So that experience paired with these thousands of historic photographs, that must have helped build the digital tour that is now existent on the city's website.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So I would say maybe probably 3 or 4 years ago, I developed a tour of downtown Huntsville, mm-hmm. Specifically the commercial area. We start at the First National Bank building, kind of basically make a loop down to Holmes and back up. And
there are 22 spots?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, it, you know, it's a great way to learn about just in general the history of Huntsville, but we talk a lot about urban renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Look at there's a couple spots that are literally just parking lots, and we talk about what used to be there, but the tie-in,
like the Lennon's YMCA.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so the or, yeah, so
I'm
the YMCA building
else.
Is over there, but right across the street from that was where there was a Victorian era federal post office.
Right.
That was gorgeous. And then right next to that, behind the Schiffman building, was a opera house, the Elks Opera House. And so, and even where our current city hall is now, there used to be a Carnegie Library mm-hmm. before it was demoed to make way for a parking deck. And now we have city hall, you know. So the evolution and how that kind of changes over time, even looking at where 106 Jefferson Hotel is, that was the site of the Huntsville Hotel. So the image collection viewer was very helpful in that we decided this past year, kind of in honor of Preservation Month, to launch a digital version of that walking tour on Clio, and that's CLIO. It's an app that you can download for free. And if you go to any city, really, they have a lot of people can put tours up on Clio, which is really fun. But we have photographs. We did videos of me talking at every stop, but the photos are helpful.
And it's free to use.
Say that again.
Free to use.
Yes, free to use, free to download. And it's anytime I give that tour, it's also free to join. But it's helpful because when I'm doing the physical walking tour, I can point at a parking lot and be like, just imagine this opera house, you know, and I can describe it. But when you see a photograph of it,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot more evocative. You can go, oh, wow. And like you see what it actually used to look like. So the photographs and images are just wonderful when it comes to that. Another thing that we used, and I know the Sanborn fire insurance maps, which are so fun to kind of play around with, but they will tell you, especially when I was doing my downtown tour, I can see like, oh, there's a jewelry store at this spot where, you know, Poppy in Parliament now is. You mm-hmm. know, there's like all how things like businesses have changed over time and that kind of thing. See where the different city halls have existed over time. So those are things that we kind of piece together to create kind of more, like I said, you know, like a digestible kind of fun snapshot. It's not going to get you everything, all the historical information, but just, you know, a lot of times people that come
like
on
the highlights. Kind
yeah.
of.
Well, and a lot of times the people that come on the walking tours, like they're not, they might like history, but you know, that's mm-hmm. enough for them. And so they'll just get a little bit of it, but that's, I mean, you know,
it's more than nothing.
It is. And I get a lot of people that, you know, aren't necessarily tourists, but they're people that live around here. You know, Huntsville has so many people move here from outside of the city. So
newcomers,
I think there's a
yeah.
lot of people that want to learn about Huntsville that maybe didn't grow up here. So that's to me, that's a quick, fun way to learn about your local history.
That's been one of my rationalizations for this whole
yeah.
thing is that, you know, I'm not from Huntsville and I've only been here, you know, a little over 7 years now, but it helps me feel more connected to this city. Mm-hmm. Just working on these historic projects.
And then developing the app on Clio, what did the GIS department contribute?
Oh, that was all her.
Well,
oh,
it, but we using the photographs, I mean, that
right.
that was like kind of the cool thing about the Clio app is that you can, you know, have the information in the tour so you can add all this extra content. So for each stop, you know, we have it written down, basically like the script that I speak at, you know, at each stop, but then we're able to upload a video, but we're also able to upload these historic photographs too. So it's like you kind of create for those, you know, that finite tour route, you can kind of add the things. So for us, it was adding in those historic photographs, which were really helpful, especially for the spots that like the Lyric movie theater is not there anymore. It's a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's across the street from where Sammy T's and the Martin, which Martin used to be movie theater as well. So having those photographs kind of tie into that so you can actually see the pictures is really, really helpful, I think.
I am going to plug something for a second.
Okay.
So she brought up Sanborn maps. And so those were done by a company that was trying to help fire insurance companies understand how to insure buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So they really weren't worried about preserving history or anything like that. It was just, hey, this is a very practical thing in order to help
a
fire
very
insurance
detailed
companies.
Thing as well. Yeah.
Yes, very detailed. But we have those in Huntsville going back to 1884 up until about 1960. And they're not every year, they're every few years. And I have digitized the ones that we have. So we have scanned copies of the actual maps, but I've also digitized the businesses off of those.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a website where you can actually go year by year mm-hmm. and look at how the business has changed over time.
Okay. What is the website?
It's a historic building. So it's you know, maps.huntsvilleal.gov/historic-buildings.
Say it one more time.
maps.huntsvilleal.gov/historic-buildings. And we have that up from 1837 up to 1984. And I want to continue to add as we get time.
Okay.
I was just going to say, like, the image collection viewer and the historic buildings app, there are more history-related things that you've created, which he has said before he's not a history person, but I don't believe you because – he does a lot of this stuff, just it creates these really
like
useful things.
By proxy, you're a history person.
Yeah, but it is.
I appreciate history. She's a historian. I'm kind of like somebody who just enjoys it.
But you also have the skill set. I do think like with, you know, history people, it's almost like you deal with, you know, people maybe who are gifted artists, but they don't have the business side of things. Or like for me, it's like I understand history, but like I can't do the tech side of or have the patience to do mm-hmm. the digital part. And I think that is such a useful tool for those of us that wouldn't be able to create that or would be too much of an undertaking to do on your own. But now the rest of us get to, mm-hmm. you know, but like you've got like all of the every site that is all the historic markers are mapped. We have all of the, if anything is listed on the National Register, it's mapped. And so it's like, yeah, there's all these like useful tools that are on there and they're easy to, you know, navigate that you can kind of play around with. So I feel like people
it may just be that I'm more foolhardy than other people because like I look at something and it's like, oh yeah, I can do that. It may take a year, but I'll get there. It's like it's been a joke around the office. So I keyed in the yellow pages of the 1984 phone book.
Wow. Okay, that's a task and a half.
Like someone else would be like, talk about it. They'll talk about doing it for a while, but it actually, here we are.
Man. So, Katie, you have participated in the Maple Hill Cemetery Stroll. And there you embody like some of these historical figures that we might see in the collection. What does it mean to you to have like this extra resource for people to go see that and then maybe even see it like played out in person?
Yes, so last year was my first year as
like maybe they can brush up beforehand.
Well, I think, you know, we were talking about the photographs. If you have photographs of some of these individuals that are buried at Maple Hill, that would be a way to kind of connect. It's not just this abstract written down script about a person that lived a long time ago. You can actually see what they looked like or maybe see, maybe we don't have a photograph of them, but we have a photograph of their home. So, for example, the character, not character, she was an actual person, Caroline Penelope Moore Robinson. She was the person responsible for building Quietdale Plantation, which is over near Lee High School. And so having pictures of those structures over time and pictures, you know, when I was doing research on her, knowing that Quietdale is actually her husband, late husband that passed away, he had two brothers and they built plantations as well. And so being able to see pictures. So it just kind of makes it a little bit more personal.
Real.
And when you're telling your story, again, you can actually write it from, like, to me, photographs is not like, there can be a lot of license that is taken with some of these scripts that are maybe were written. I mean, good grief, some of them probably have been are decades old and maybe have not been updated. But if you have a photograph, like I can write because that is truth because I'm looking at it with my own two eyes. So I can like, you know, when I'm talking about the architecture, I can see it.
Yeah.
So to me, that was very helpful because you may or may not get a good written description of what that building looked like. But now I can look at it.
Alter it to give a better picture to the people who are coming out to learn more about this.
Exactly. I actually, because I'm a nerd, I created a foam
We're
board.
All nerds. Come on, Katie.
I had it printed on my own dime, but I went and got a foam board. Basically picture collage of all of these buildings I just mentioned, just so I could show them to people. So I'm sure they're probably in the collection now that I'm thinking about it.
I love a visual aid. I'm sure so many
Right, because it's really hard. Again, when I'm on my walking tour, I'm like trying to describe, you know, it's just.
Imagine if you will.
Right, and it's like, I know what it looks like. But yeah, having a photograph. So I don't think I want to start doing that with my walking tour. Might be a pain in the butt to have like all these like drop down things. But again, being able to point people towards that digital tour, be like, if you want to follow up or if you want to get on the image collection viewer, I'm like, all this stuff is in here. You can do your own digging around.
Well, we had this conversation a few weeks ago, but I think the end point, like the future of all this, and it may not be me or we may not be involved, I don't know. But I think the end point for all of this historic information that we have is almost like some sort of Huntsville Wikia that just links together like the property data and the maps and the images and, you know, historic vignettes all together in one place.
The viewer and app, like all of this is supplemental to, as we said, you know, giving everybody a bigger picture, whether they're newcomers or just now getting in, they're from Huntsville, they're just now getting interested in that kind of history, getting them a better picture of what Huntsville, how Huntsville has evolved over time. What is your overall goal of this culturally, of establishing this web map?
Yeah, I would say, and this is a phrase, I did not come up with this. I think the National Trust for Historic Preservation has been using this phrase for quite a while, but it's telling the full story. So, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, a lot of what we have that was written down or photographed is by the people that had the means to do it and the time to do it. And so I feel like, you know, just by the nature of that kind of limits what we have now today as far as like actual like primary sources to be able to tell that story. So for me, it would be to just keep getting wider in that net as far as like whose story are we capturing and making sure that we're being as inclusive as possible. Because I went to a meeting when I first started working for the city And it was with a group of folks with the Normal Historic District, which is up near Annam and Edmonton Heights. And
literally the town of Normal.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yes, the town of Normal. Yes. And they were we were just sitting around talking, and there was a woman that said, and this was me. I was so excited to work for the city. I'm like representing the city at this meeting. And she was like, the city only preserves white history and it tears down black history. And that was like, you know, I had a very like. My first knee-jerk reaction was like, excuse me? And then I thought about it for 2 seconds. I was like, you are not wrong. You know, and again.
And it's not just black people either. There are Hispanic people, Asian people.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
like it's, in this. And it's the bigger picture part of that is just, again, wanting to make sure we're capturing. And it's not even just all people, but like all areas of our life.
Yes.
So not just like,
conditions, environments.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Cultural things. Like it's not just, you know, the physical buildings, because I get really into that. But it's not just about space. Like there's a lot of like kind of stories that have been occurring that we don't necessarily have captured. So I guess for me, it's just making sure like I know that that job will never be done. Like there's never going to be a period at the end of that sentence as far as like capturing everything. There's always an opportunity to get more.
And that's a good thing that it's never going to be done, because then you just, add on to the story, and that's making it more diverse and more inclusive. Yeah.
And I think too, like making it more, my background is also in education. I taught, social studies for a very short time. Oh. But in teaching, I understand that like not all people are super into history. And so I think by creating these kind of tools,
you can more digestible and accessible.
Right. And you can bring it to people that like they can take in as much as they want to. They can really get into it but it's like a way to make it, again, that accessibility part. That anybody can get into the history. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a history degree or like know your way around an archive to like figure out any of this stuff. Like it's there if you want to do research about it.
There's a trap that everybody falls into. So I told you I went to the 1984 phone book. We had phone books up until like 2010 or 2012 that we had kept in the GIS department just in case. Because it's a good – hey, if you think about it, it's a form of geographic information,
yes.
Right? It's just a bunch of addresses and names,
yes.
Right? And I kept the oldest ones and got rid of the rest. And it's like, I don't want to go through like the 2012 phone book, It's like, I lived through 2012. It wasn't that great,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But people take that mentality about everything. And 30 years from now, you'll be like, well, why didn't we preserve this information from 2012? Well, mm-hmm. Because, at the time, it was like, well, that's not cool. It's not interesting. What's really old, that's what's interesting. But you can't preserve today what wasn't preserved yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what, Katie was talking about with people not preserving black history, because they didn't preserve it in the 60s, 50s, 40s, whenever it was. We can't go back and retroactively preserve it today.
Right.
So that's why we have to be mindful. And it's like, hey, we can't get rid of, things.
And be open to receiving those materials mm-hmm. from the community.
Absolutely. We can't take the viewpoints like, well, everything made in the last 20 years, that's not historically significant. Well, mm-hmm. yeah, it's not today, mm-hmm. but it will be one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why you have to, preservation doesn't start with just preserving old stuff. It starts preserving the stuff we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a conversation we have quite frequently with the Huntsville Historic Preservation Commission, because they're, tasked with regulating the historic districts. And I think I'm pretty sure in all the three that we regulate, which are Twickenham, Old Town, and Five Points, we've got, mid-century homes, mm-hmm. which some people do not like the style of and literally do not see the point. Like, why do we even care? Why do we care about preserving this? Like, little weird things like those mid-century homes have basically decorative, weirdly skinny shutters. They're not functional. If you were to close them, they would not touch. And so mm-hmm. we have conversations like I've had people like, well, it was a mistake. Why are we preserving something that's, I'm using air quotes, but wrong? And it's like,
well. That is so subjective, though, to call it a mistake.
Right. And that's why we always, we've literally had training about, we don't use words like ugly or pretty. History's not about pretty. And
right.
You're right. Like, and like, try not to use those subjective terms. And it's not about your personal preference, because you don't want to get caught up even in like paint colors. We don't want to get caught up in trends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a conversation I have. Like, there are people that will pick out, you know, a perfectly nice color, but it's not appropriate for that style of house. And so having to educate people on that. But yeah, it's like we're playing the long game here. Yeah. And I always tell people, for those property owners, I'm like, you're a steward of this house for the time that you have it. Mm-hmm. But someday you won't be here anymore. Yeah. And so we thinking about like not getting rid of stuff that's, you know, or not dismissing. I mean, good grief, when Craftsman bungalows were being built, a lot of people really hated Victorian era architecture, hated it. They thought it was fussy and just too much. And so that they kind of, and so a lot of Victorian homes got torn down because people didn't like the style. But again,
they
it's
want
a trend.
To paint all that trim.
Well, that's true. Yeah, they're doing the dollar signs. But again, it's like trend. You can't let, like, history-minded, you cannot let trends and short-sighted things dictate your decisions. You have to think about the long game.
I just had this realization while I was sitting here and you were talking that if you stay in this job long enough, we're going to have to be preserving McMansions.
I know. I thought about that. We have literally had that conversation. So one of the rules that we have in our guidelines is we typically don't allow painting of non-painted masonry. Mm-hmm. But so we've had people be like, well, is it okay to paint a 1960s ranch house that's unpainted? Is it okay to paint a 1930s Craftsman bungalow? Mm. You know, there's a lot of conversations you can have about like handmade brick and the way it, you know, operates versus like manufactured brick. There's a lot of arguments you can make. But it was interesting because there was a couple of houses that over in Twickenham, a section, an area where there were a lot of them were built in the 1980s. And so we let, you know, several of them, because it's like they're 1985, they're not historic. So who cares? I'm again using air quotes. But it's like one of our commission members was like, well, wait a second, someday that house is going to be 50 years old and we're going to be looking back and they're going to go, why in the world did those people, us, let them paint that? You know, it's like those kind of, but then it's like, then you get yourself into a.
So preserving the present is kind of a conflicting thing, it sounds like.
Yeah, it is, because, getting people to care, because it's like if something's really, really old, it's like you really can't argue. Like, yeah, that's historic. But yeah, when you get into that kind of gray area.
And how do you translate that to this, to the image collection viewer? Mm.
So yeah. I think, you know, when I first, so I'll give you an example.
Like, what's the newest?
Yeah, so the newest picture we have in the historic collection is 2005. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have other collections on there as well that aren't just historic. So we have the historic homes. And some of those pictures are from like 2021. Mm-hmm. Like, I took a good chunk of those pictures in 2019. The ones from the cemetery survey, those were taken in like 2012, 2013. So we have newer stuff. But when I first did the Historic Places app, which was our historic homes, I was going out taking pictures, and I was like, there's a lot of places I need to take pictures of. You know what? I'm only going to take pictures of homes that are older than 1900, right? So I subjectively put my bias in, right? Like, if you're not 120 years old, it's too hard. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Like, how do you determine
that? Well, then I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking about, like, the way we photograph now with our phones. And, like, I mean, I can't remember last time I got a photo printed. So we have these more, way, way more digital. Like, I've told him time and again, I have a huge collection of pictures I need to get in a way that you can get to them. Mm-hmm. Pictures that I just take, that I've been taking for the last almost 8 years now, working for the city, that I are sitting in different spots that need to be.
I can't hear this.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. He's covering his ears.
My
by
lack
the way.
Of organization is coming out. But it is like, yeah, there's, but it's like they're more recent, but eventually those, and one of the ways that those are helpful to have the different time periods even more modern is like, I mean, a homeowner might be like, my house used to have a front porch, or what, I'm just using that as an example. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes we've been lucky and they've been like, I actually have a picture of it. From, you know, or it used to, you know, have this or that, or it used to be this color. And like Google Street View is actually really helpful, because I caught somebody, they tried to tell me that their house used to be this other color. I'm like, you are not telling the truth. I haven't on, you know, but so now I'm kind of curious, like with those photographs that we're all taking on our phones all the time. Like,
well, I told you last year when I was working on this, after we'd met with Dean and he'd given us the historic homes, and I told you, it's like, well, you know, hey, Katie, I'm making this for you. This is your app where you can see all the pictures of all the houses, right? But then when I put the historic stuff in there, it's just morphed into something else entirely.
Yep. Is there anything that you would like to add, final thoughts, places that people can go online to follow the newest and latest with GIS and the historic aspect of the city?
For any kind of historic-related things, I will say if you follow the Huntsville Historic Preservation Commission on Facebook, as well as at Huntsville Preservation on Instagram, that's where we post all of our information. And just following, honestly, the City of Huntsville social channels is a really good tool to be able to kind of get the latest information. For the Clio app, you can access it through just a web browser, so you don't have to download. You can download an app to your phone, or you can just access the CLIO, and you can search by location in the U.S., by topic, and you can find our tour that way as well. So you can do it while you're out walking around, or you can sit at your computer.
Well, thank you so much, Katie Stamps and Nick Haney with the City of Huntsville for joining us today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.